Thank you. Man of God. Children can go ahead and be right on over there with a holy man and one of my neighbors. Amen. Thank you. That was awesome. Well, obviously, this is Veterans Day, and Pastor Mike asked me about a week ago to preach on this day and then wear my uniform. And I always think about this when I put this on. I was never issued this. I had to buy this. Yeah, and let me tell you what, it's $1.298. They do not give this thing away for free. Okay, now I earned it. I want you to know that. But in the day I was in boot camp, now you figure, I went to boot camp in 1966. Some of you weren't even born. I mean, but in fact, I was thinking about even Vietnam. I was in a lot of combat, and but man, the combat I was in was 50 years ago. I told my wife, somebody's getting old. It's just the most amazing journey. But what I want to talk to you about today is because something that God does in the change of life. You know, when I was, somehow the Marine Corps changed me forever. Of course, my father, I think, my dad was a former Carlson's Raider. He had 7 Purple Hearts. His first Purple Heart he got on Guadalcanal. And that's when the World War II started. Man, we went in and punched those dudes with Colonel Carlson. I don't know if you know about Colonel Carlson, but those guys didn't wear rank. When they went in, Colonel Carlson was just right in the front with them. They went in. They did it like Marines, Delaney was talking yesterday. They lead from the front. When they came off those boats in Guadalcanal, they came off those boats. And they were meaning to do something. And I look at all of this, and I think of the magnificence. My father, a Marine. I was a Marine. I have a son, Scott, who you know, was in Desert Storm. I have Danny, and who's also a Marine. And I look back, and for me, the Marine Corps changed me completely. And it did some good things for me. Number one, it gave me discipline. Discipline that has never left me to this day. I mean, even this day. You know, you ever feel like, how many of you just feel like you wake up every morning and all you can think about is doing physical exercise? Yeah, Shelly does. Okay, but the average person does not. And even in the disciplines that I got in the Marine Corps, it went like this. Even if I don't feel like something, I do it because I know it needs to get done and it's good for me. It needs to be taken care of, and I'm not gonna put it off. I'm not gonna procrastinate anything. When it needs to be done, I get it done now. I don't know how they did it. I don't know what happened, but I know this also. They did something in me that's called Semper Fidelis. Now I have a friend, he's retired 3-star general out of the Marine Corps, General Bob Johnston. He was also out there in Desert Storm and heading up the Marines there. And I asked him, I said, can you tell me of all the, the military is the military. Guys have gone out to fight. Women have gone out to fight. What in the world has happened to us as Marines with this Semper Fi? Because no matter who you are, you meet a Marine, you could not even like the person. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're in battle, you'll die for them. It's the weirdest thing. You will die for them. They're right here at your side. And I looked and I said, what is this Semper Fidelis? He said, Gus, you're not going to believe it. We've spent millions of dollars trying to figure this out. And the only thing we can figure out is from the general to a cook to a private, everybody's a rifleman. We're all Marines. We all lead from the front. We go in. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's Veterans Day, but I want to give you something that we need discipline. And I'm glad that I've earned this, and I'm glad I went through it, and it's changed my life. And one of the things that amazed me about Semper Fi is that I had come to Christ before I went in the Marine Corps. Okay, I had definitely been saved, and I'm going to talk about that a little later, but what God does about this eternal plan. But I thought, I didn't know how to surrender my life. I just didn't know how that was done, to surrender everything when he would say, come to me. I could believe, and I was definitely saved. I needed a change. Something else was going to happen along that time. And I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about this new nature. I want to talk to you about God himself. If you think of this, I was sitting there thinking, you were singing, the wrath of God was poured out on him. And I was just telling my wife, I just had a thought. It just gave me goosebumps. And I said, I forgot all. I said, I can't. The wrath of God was poured on him. Now, this isn't, God is not a religion. We made religion. We've turned God into religion. We've turned him into little names of all kinds of denominations and things that we judge one another and ourselves by, and we live with so much condemnation. But God is the King of Kings, and he is sovereign. And think of this. It says, the wrath of God was poured on him. On who? Christ. When? On the cross. That's why he screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's screaming. He's on a cross. Why? And the Father could say, so they will become your righteousness. That's what this is about. I don't need behavior modification. I needed a new nature. I needed to be made brand new. The Scripture calls it born again. And it wasn't to be born again just to believe in God or believe in Jesus. The demons believe, and yet they're not changed. They can't be changed. Yet they believe in God. So what is it? What is God wanting to do with it? All Scripture. See, Paul, let me put it this way. Paul would say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. Why aren't you ashamed? Because in the gospel, in the good news of God, there is a righteousness from God. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. This faith is, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to take him at his word. And I'm going to act upon that which I said I believe. Now, when I tell you I was a former Marine, I had to act upon. You know, you can get trained for combat, right? You can get trained for combat. But you don't know what that's going to do until you're in it. And the first time you're in combat, I'm telling you what, it's a different ballgame. And the first time I was in combat, I so wanted to go back and say, Staff Sergeant Blue. He was my senior drill instructor. And I wanted to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, when you were doing that to me, I didn't like it. I wasn't really thoughtful. I wasn't really had good thoughts towards you. But when I was in combat, man, thank God he did what he did to me so that I, boom, I didn't know I was going to act like that. God has a plan in the goodness of God. God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin. Where? On the cross. I'm making you sin today. I'm not making you do sin. I'm making all of the sins of mankind, I'm laying them all on you, and I'm going to pour my wrath on that sin. And I'm going to pour it on you, and I'm going to pour it on you. I will spare you nothing. And in the sparing of you nothing, you can cry out to me, and I won't hear. Because I don't listen to sin. And on that you will go to death. And I will let death take you. Because I will raise you up. And I want my sons and daughters to become the righteousness of the Almighty. I want them to know my nature. I had a plan in the beginning. Do you remember in the beginning? Think what God said. Let us make man in our image. After our likeness. And that's what we have become in Christ. So I ask everywhere I go. I just got back from a month-long trip. I was preaching across the country. Everywhere I went, I couldn't be in an RV park without talking to people about Christ. I mean, in every RV park, we saw people dedicate their life to Christ. I mean, it was an amazing thing. In the churches, the television program I did. I mean, on television, of all things. It was so stinking fun, I could hardly stand myself. I mean, it was just a grand journey, watching people become alive. I mean, these television hosts saying, we've never met anyone like it. We have never heard stories like this. And I'm thinking, bummer, you should have. Because this should be normal. My life should be normal. What do you mean? If there is a God, wouldn't you want to know him? Would you just want to believe in him? So that somehow you meander through this mess? You go ahead and still divorce. You go ahead and still have porno. You still go have all the lust. You still have uncontrollable behavior, your anger, your you just want to meander through this thing while believing in Jesus so someday you can go to heaven? No. That isn't what he came for. He came so that you and I would be a new creation, that all things, the old, would pass away. What do you mean? The power of my own sin, it lost its power over me. I can choose it. But it lost its power over me. And when I repent, and I tell you what, I walk in blamelessness before the Lord all the time. That's the new nature. He said, Gus, you will always be blameless, even if you act like an idiot. Now, he didn't say that. I did. Okay? Because he never calls me an idiot. So I want to read. First off, before I do the sermon or whatever I'm going to do, I'm just speaking today. The reason that's a joke is the last thing I did coming back is I spoke at a Lutheran church, okay? I spoke at a Lutheran church in Palm Springs. And, of course, it's a Lutheran church, and they do worship differently. They worship differently in a Lutheran church. And it was really a joy. And the pastor told me, you're not going to be allowed to preach because I wasn't a Lutheran. And he said, and he wasn't going to be there, but he said, but we're going to let you speak. And I said, sounds good. Okay. And he said, you have 25 minutes. I said, okay. I spoke for 40. It was so fun. And I wanted to tell you the magnificence of God's eternal breath. I'm going to share with you his breath. And as I'm preaching God's word, it's his word. It's his Holy Spirit. There's a well-dressed lady, an older lady, in the back of this Lutheran church. And as I'm preaching, she's doing this. Woo! Woo! And I'm thinking, wow, that was pretty cool. I've never seen that in a Lutheran church. Woo! You know, and they're all applauding as I'm preaching. I'm thinking, wow, that's cool. As I leave, she comes up to me afterwards, and she goes, I got to tell you something. I said, what? She said, I was the one going, woo! And I said, yeah, I know, I saw you. And then she said, I need to tell you something. I've never done that in my life. She said, when it first came out of my mouth, I thought, what just happened to me? And she said, I just realized, it's as if you turned the breaker switch on. I have believed all of this, but not once have I ever felt it. And the moment I felt that I want to know him, I could not control my voice. It just came out of me. And I thought, cool. I'm just like, you and I are the same. I said, we get animated. So I want to tell you something about God. I want you to listen to what God's word. All scripture is God-breathed. All of it is God-breathed. You want his breath to become your breath. You don't want to get into this word just for the sake of study. A lot of people can handle this word rightly, and their nature has not been changed. How sad. How sad to believe it, say it all rightly, and have still your old stinking nature waste in your face. It has no power over you when you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Christ would say to Nicodemus, human beings can only reproduce human beings, but the Holy Spirit will reproduce, give birth to the Spirit. And then he said, so don't be surprised, Nicodemus, when I say to you, Nicodemus, you, theologian, must be born again. You've got to be made new. You want to be made new. So I ask you today, if you could know the Lord today, would you want to know him? Would you want to know him better than you did yesterday? See, that's what this day's all about. That's what the magnificence, when he says, come to me. When he says, come to me, he doesn't just say, come to me for salvation. He says, come to me. Are you weary? Come to me. Have you been stressed out? Come to me. Are you tired? Come to me. Is something really bothering you? Come to me. Are you working hard on bitterness? Come to me. You have a lust factor? Come to me. I'll give you rest. Come to me. He doesn't say, work at this, work at that, work at this. So listen to the magnificence of how God describes himself. All scripture is God-breathed, and all scripture is profitable. It's profitable to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us in righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, God is righteous, number one, so it's his character. Freedom from all condemnation, freedom from sin, freedom from the power over sin. So now listen to what God says about himself. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know, that you may believe, that you may understand that I am he. I'm not a religion. I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no Savior. Listen to the words. Apart from me, there is no Savior. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? I am who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer. I am the first, I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Well, let him proclaim it. You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No. There is no other rock. I know not one. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, who formed you? Now, he formed you in the womb. Where do you think you came from? God says, I formed you in the womb. You got to know something. When God says, I formed you in the womb, what does he mean? He means, I formed you in the womb. If that doesn't give you a great praise. When did you know me? Well, I formed you in the womb, Gus. I knew you before the creation of anything. I formed you. Give thanks to the Lord. Listen to this. I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth. I did it by myself. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but found it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Was it not I, the Lord, and there is no God apart from me? Listen to this. A righteous God, a Savior, there is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? Do you think he's trying to say something in the compassion? Do you understand? God's wrath is never on you. His wrath is on sin. His wrath has always been on sin for what it did to the human race. And right from the get-go, there was an eternal plan. Right from the get-go, that before the foundation of the world, Christ was already crucified. He would go, do to me whatever you want. Give them my righteousness. Save them. Return them back. Make them new again into my image. Make them new into righteousness where they're not so depressed or they're not so anxious or not so, oh, Father, look at the condemnation they have on one another. They can't hardly breathe. I look back, and so I want to give you this. Listen to these words. We know that in all things, God will cause all things to work together for good. Amen? But it says, cause to work for good to what? To those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Hey, Maureen. Good to see you. Okay. I had to do that. I saw Maureen. You got to do this when you're Marines, okay? Now listen to this. Where does his purpose start? Think about that. You're called according to his purpose. Come to me, all you who are weary. It's always come to me. Where does his purpose start? Come to me. That's what he says today. Where are you? Come to me. Just come to me. That's what he said. The questions of life that really matter are very few. There's very few really questions. People want to know the future. They want something else or answers to something. But the truth of the questions, they're very simple, very few, and can be summed up with these words. Christ says, come to me. So do you want to know him? I'm going to tell you what, it changed this man's life. Come to me. I don't know how to say it. He doesn't say, here's the answer to your question. Go do this. Here's the answer to your concerns. Don't do that. He says, here's your answer. What? You're confused? Come to me. Are you hurting? Come to me. Do you feel rejected? Come to me. You feel stressed out? Come to me. Do you feel worthless at times? Then come to me. Are you having a hard time with your sin nature? Then come to me. That's the answer to the questions. That's what I learned a long time ago. As I was beginning to go down life's road, I didn't know. I got so many things that God had to work with me. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book, My Utmost for His Highest, says it this way. He is not saying, you got it up here. This is so cool. I will put you to bed, hold your hand, and sing you to sleep. I love that style. Okay? But in essence, he is saying, I will get you out of bed, out of your listlessness and exhaustion, and out of your condition of being half dead while still alive. I love this. I will penetrate you with the spirit of life. I'm going to penetrate you with the spirit of life. And you will be sustained by the perfection of his activity. Yola boli. Don't you love that? I mean, that's what we are. This is what we're talking about. So now our verse is before us, and man, I'm almost done here. Okay? We know that in all things God works for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, Those, and I'm only going to deal with two sections. For God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. To be made, the calling is to be made into the character of his son. To be made in righteousness, be made in peace, made in joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's never bored. He's never, you know, he's never yawning. Did you know he never yawns? He's never, I wonder what I should do here. You know, I mean, there's always a sense of wow. There's a wow in the presence of the Lord. There's a joy in the presence. There's nothing in his presence that's like, oh, God, we're still here. It's not like that. I want you to know, I promise you, the nature that I have, God gave me, I was telling a Christian, my relatives from Iceland were here all week, and they came this morning, okay? They really liked my uniform, okay? They thought that was way cool. They had to take pictures. And I told them, I said, Christian, do you know what it's like when he says to me, we met 7 years ago, okay? He's married to my niece, and he's become one of my best friends on the planet. I mean, I just love this guy. And I said, you know, you keep saying I'm an encourager. Do you know what that feels like to me? Do you know when I was a young man, no one called me that. They said, I'm focused. You will never, if you're around Gus, you're never going to wonder what he was thinking. He'll be very clear about what he was thinking. You're going to find he is a very disciplined man. And you're going to find if you're working with him and you're not that disciplined, he will help you. And all of a sudden, where did encouragement come from? The Almighty. Still the same disciplines, still the same thing, but mellowed in the beauty of the love of God. So all of a sudden, instead of whooping on people, which in our old sinful nature, let's be honest, it's just fun. It's fun to intimidate. That's just fun to whoop, put them back in their right place. You're a lowlifer, you know. But it's way more joyful in the presence of the Almighty to never be that place again. So you look at this. Now watch this. That we might be made in the image of the Son. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. And listen to that. That means to be washed of all sin forever. I've made you blameless in my sight forever. I've justified you. But not only that, Gus, I want you to know something. I have now glorified you. Man, we don't even get that one. We don't get that at all. You're always struggling with somebody. You think, well, if you didn't, well, that was the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit through you. But guess what? You're the Son of God. Why wouldn't it be the Holy Spirit through you? If as a woman, why wouldn't it be the Holy Spirit through you? Why do you have to say that when you already know you're a woman of God? You know why that? You know why that was accomplished? It was accomplished because you're a woman of God. When you go there, when Sandy speaks to these women, when they get refreshed in their soul, when Shelly sings to them, well, of course they're going to have that happen. Why not? Well, they're women of God. Good. What'd you expect from them? They're going to shake the earth. Why? They can't help themselves. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He leaks out of us. And it's a joy. That's what is mentioned here. So I want to give you just a couple things. For those God foreknew, okay, foreknowledge. Okay, what in the world does that mean? It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world that we should be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, I want to tell you something. Being holy and blameless in his sight is not grunting. It's not, I'm trying to be holy. I'm working at being blameless. No. You are because he has made you that way in Christ because you are righteous. You've got to start believing what God said, that therefore anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Does that mean that this carcass, this tent you live in, will not sin at times? No, it means it will. But it's not, you are still blameless, and that's why repentance is an act of worship. Without condemnation. Aren't you glad? Because so many of us are living like, you know, we're sorry people. Our world, you know, you think of all these denominations, we just whooped all over him. Now listen to this one. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life? We're in a holy life. Now let me tell you that. The holy life isn't always about your behavior. The holy life is because you're a new creation in Christ and you're righteous, whether you're doing it or not. I came to know Christ. I was saved before the Marine Corps. But when my best friend Larry, we were in boot camp together and everything, when Larry was killed in Vietnam, he didn't want to go to Vietnam. I wanted to go to Vietnam. I was so stupid. I joined the Marine Corps as soon as I could. I was prepared to be a Marine because I thought all the wars were going to be over and I would miss out. Now, you see that I'm not that intelligent, okay? He did not want to go to war. He went to war. I said, last time I saw him come to Christ, last time I saw him, I said, Larry, don't worry about it. Go over there, kick butt. you know, I'll see you in 13 months. He was there 16 days when he was killed. I was so angry with God. I don't know if you've ever been angry with God. I don't know if you ever had a time where something happened in your life, you don't understand it, you're confused, and you're just ticked at him. He's the fault. He's the one. He could have changed it. If he's that good, what is this Christ thing? All I know is the Gospel of John. And so I told him, you go take a hike. I'm just angry with you. You can just go take a hike. Well, do you think he listened? No. He didn't listen at all. All through Vietnam, I could feel him all over me. I'd tell him, get off my back. Just leave me alone. Get off my back. He didn't. He didn't listen to a single thing. And then, you wonder how stupid I was? Am I still righteous? You bet I am. Am I doing righteous things? Not at all. You know, I had wonderful adjectives. The Marine Corps gives you great adjectives. You can explain how you feel at any moment. And they understand you. And what did I do? I would wake up. When we were in the rear area after being on patrol, every so often we'd go to the NCO club, and I always got snockered, just got plowed right out of my mind. And then I would go, and I hope none of you have ever done this, but I got so drunk I couldn't remember what I did. So then I'd wake up the next morning, and I'd ask them, hey, did we have fun last night? And they said, oh, Gus, you cannot believe. What do you do that for? I said, what do I do? I'm in Vietnam. I'm telling the Lord to take a hike. He said, what is it with you? Every single time you get drunk, you start going around to the whole NCO club preaching the Gospel of John. I said, Holy Spirit, you know, I did it years later. I didn't say it then. But I said, you sure have a sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? He never condemned me. The reason I'm telling you this, see, foreknowledge is something more greater. It's not advanced knowledge. See, we think we have a past, a present, a future. We set the alarm. We plan our day. We go ahead. We have that. God doesn't. He's eternity. He is the now. He's in eternity. You may not understand, but believe it. He is eternity. His foreknowledge is his bringing to pass something in me which he planned before the foundation of the world. He's going to direct me. I'm going to be a Marine. Well, I've got a plan for you, but you're not going to stay there. I'm in the Marine Corps. I take it, my colonel said, you got the gift to be an officer. He gives me a test. Yep, you can be an officer. I'm going to send you back to school for that. You can be a pilot. I take the test. Yep, you can be a pilot. They're going to give me $10,000 to sign up. I'm in Vietnam. I go to sign up, and I could not sign the thing. At that time, I had no idea. I'm sitting there. The guy goes, what's the deal? You sign, we're going to give you $10,000. You're going to be an officer and a pilot in the Marine Corps. And that's what I was hoping. And I could not sign it. Couldn't do it. God had a plan for me. When I got out and I met my wife in a nightclub, by the way, we didn't meet in a nightclub because we love Jesus. Okay? We were in there, and I told her we were going to get married, and I said, you need to know something about me. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to go start something. I'm starting businesses. I'm going to be a multimillionaire. You need to know that. I'm going to make a lot of people wealthy, and I'm going to do this and that. And I had all these plans. I'm going to be a multimillionaire. Well, she says, when is that going to start? What do you think? God has a plan. This is his foreknowledge. He had a plan, something so great. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as his sons. Adopted us. How beautiful is that? And you can never be unadopted. Understand, once God adopts, you're adopted through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. It brought him pleasure to adopt us. It brought him pleasure. He knows the whole story, which he freely given us in the one he loves. In him, that's Christ, we have redemption through his blood. What do you mean redemption? We have the forgiveness of our sins. They've washed away as far as they've ever been. Washed them away. Made me blameless now. God declares all the time, Gus is blameless. He's mine. He's my son. He is blameless, always will be blameless. I'll bring him right into my presence. He is being conformed. I am working with him. He's conforming to my son. He's taking that tent in which he lives in, which is a sinful tent, which I'll remove him from one day, and he's taking that tent and offers it as a living sacrifice to me. That's the beauty of being and knowing the Lord. Called not for behavior modification. If you believe what I'm saying about Jesus Christ and you're working on behavior modification, you are one miserable human being. God didn't say, modify your sin nature. He said, I'm giving you a new one. Come to me. Grow in me. You will like it. There's no sadness here. There's no regret here. This is the foreknowledge. For you know, and out of 1 Peter 1, 18 and 21, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life. Your empty way of life. Man, that was me. Handed down to you from your forefathers. That was my dad and everybody else. And they all came to Christ. But the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you now believe in God, who raised him from the dead, glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. He would have man in his presence, made in his likeness, living for his glory, that man would be filled with joy every moment of every day because he is now a son or a daughter of God. It would take people like us who are so unlike Christ. We are so unlike him. And he would change us. Let me give you one last little thing here because I got to end this thing. I always do this in this service, don't I? I just always do this. I can't get through these things. Total depravity. I told Mike, pray for me, because I'm going to talk about predestination and total depravity. We did not have a partial depravity. We did not have a partial fall away. Man, as far as man's concerned, we have some good things about us. Otherwise, we wouldn't even function together. We'd just kill each other forever, you know. But there is no good. What do we mean by total depravity? That there is no good in man, according to God's word. According to his definition of good, there is no good. Listen to these words out of Romans. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none. Not righteous, what do you mean? Free from sin, free from condemnation, free from the power of their sin nature. There's not one. Not even one. There is no one who understands. There is, listen to the words, no one who seeks God. That's the Lord says this. All have turned away. They have become, or together have become worthless. Now listen to that. That's a nice term. Hey, you worthless human being. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit, lying, slander, maligning. They poison the vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace, they don't know peace. They don't know it. There is no fear of God before them. And because there is no good in man, salvation had to come from God and him alone. It's his gift for you. Do you want it? Would you like to be renewed today? Have you suffered through some fears and opportunities and stresses? Would you like to know that you can get that washed? He says, come to me. That's what he says, come to me. This is the beauty of life. The call, when you come to him, you're saying, I'm coming back. I'm coming to you to be refreshed in the character you gave me, the newness of a new creation. I'm tired of me feeling like I'm divorced from you, or I'm divorced from my wife or my husband, or that I'm somehow laid, I've got this pornography thing, or I've got this anger thing, or I've got this bitterness in my soul that I just can't get over. Father, I'm tired of wrestling with me. I don't like me. And all of a sudden he said, well, come. Come. You will not find condemnation in me. If you will come to me, I will refresh you like you can't imagine. Come and rejoice. I remember the time and when I was that young man, and I was already a saved man, but I did not know how to surrender my life. I did not know how to come to him. I did not know what it meant. And the pastor gave an invitation, and I was in the very back over there. And I remember they gave the invitation, come to him. Come and receive his gift. Come and surrender the whole of your life. Aren't you tired of wrestling with yourself? And I remember I'm standing right next to my wife. And I literally said to her, and excuse my Marine talk here, okay? I looked at my wife and I said, there is no way in hell I'm walking some aisle. And the next thing you know, I'm walking down the front of the aisle. To this day, I had no memory of that. I said, what happened? She says, you said that to me and then walked down the aisle. And then all of a sudden, I got in front of the pastor and I thought, how did I get here? And Bill looks at me and goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, man, how did I get here? He said, what do you mean? I said, and then all of a sudden, I realized, uh-oh, it's now or never. Surrender your life, Gus. It's now or never. Are you tired of the wrestling match? Man, I was tired. I was so tired. I said, I want to surrender my whole life to God, but I'm afraid I'm going to cry. He put his arm around me and said, Gus, good men do cry. And I surrendered everything. I surrendered it all. I said, you do whatever you want with me from now and evermore. Whatever you want me to do, not only will I do it, I'll do it with joy. And I'll call it good. I don't care what it is. And I began to burst into tears. And I've never been the same. I've never gone back. That's what Christ says. God's word tells us that being saved is much more than being saved from hell. Hell isn't for human beings. Hell is for sin. It was for sin. The only way a man is going to go to hell, a woman is going to go to hell, he's not sending them there. It's the holding place for sin. And one day, hell and death will be thrown into a lake of fire to be tormented forever. God doesn't send them there. He's here to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. And so I looked at this and I said, okay, how do I do this? It is being conformed to the likeness of the character of Christ. It is being a new creation. It is life with no condemnation. Our Lord never, he has never changed his mind. His desire is to save and to give me a new life, to make me like him. Men should know the grace, the love, and the peace of God simply by our lives. There's no one like him. St. Francis of Assisi said, look, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Our life is a magnificent story of the Almighty. So I'm going to have our worship team come back up here. We're going to sing a couple songs today. Okay? One of them is a song of invitation. And I want to give you an opportunity. When he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy, the come, you can come for salvation. But also, if you got stuff that's been heavy on your heart, well, come. Let's give it to the Lord. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's go before there, you know? I mean, I remember this. This is me every day. My wife can tell you, I'm like this every day. I wake up in the morning singing to the Lord. It has been so refreshing to be in his presence. And we want to invite you into that place. So they're going to be leading us in song. Would you stand, sing with us? And if you would like, I would just ask you to come. We would love to pray over you, pray with you. Mike and I, some of the ladies up here, and in the last service they came, and it was just a holy time. He's given you a life to where you don't have to wrestle with yourself anymore.